Some verses here in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. And let's read verses 7 through 10. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 7 through 10.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs, that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, your God has brought us into a good land.
Amen.
Yes. The Lord our God.
Amen.
Has brought us into a wonderful good land.
Amen.
Christ as our wonderful inheritance.
Amen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Yes, Lord, help us to see this good land today, Lord.
Amen.
A land of brooks of water.
Amen.
Mountains and springs.
Amen.
Flow out valleys and hills.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Bring us to this good land.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, Lord, to continue to show us all the riches in this good land.
Right. Amen.
And we really realize our inheritance.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Help us to drink
Amen.
Of this living Amen. Water.
Amen.
Amen. Enjoying Amen. This good land.
Run.
Brooks of water.
Amen.
Fountains and springs.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for the land of wheat and barley.
Amen.
Of vines and fig trees and pomegranates.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise
Hallelujah.
The wheat.
Amen.
For the barley.
Amen.
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 What a vine.
Amen.
Jesus is the true vine.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
The fig tree.
Amen.
The pomegranate.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you for the land of olive oil and honey.
Amen.
A land in which you will eat bread without scarcity.
Amen. Hallelujah.
In which you,
you will lack nothing.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Lack nothing.
Amen.
Which you will lack nothing.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Yes. In Christ we lack nothing.
Amen.
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 Yes, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Amen. Amen.
A land whose stones are iron.
Amen.
Out of whose hills you can dig copper.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen. Yeah. These days we pray that we could enjoy you as the iron.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. As the copper.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Give us strength to battle against your enemy.
Amen.
May your churches be strong.
Amen. Amen.
May all the saints be diligent to dig.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Yes.
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 We want to be diligent to dig.
Amen.
Iron and copper.
Amen.
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 Right. To plant, to harvest, to dig.
Yes.
And to process everything.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, and when we have eaten
and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Oh.
The Lord.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord. Amen.
And we shall bless the Lord our God.
Amen.
We want to bless the Lord our God.
Amen.
For the good land which he has given us.
Amen.
Thank you, Father, for Christ our good land.
Amen.
Be diligent to labor on him day by day.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Yeah, these days teach us how to bless you.
Amen.
Amen. With our rich experiences of Christ.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Colossians, let's read one more, yeah?
Yeah. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12.
Right. Let's read that verse.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah, Lord.
Giving thanks
to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Oh, we give thanks to the Father.
Amen.
Who has qualified us.
Amen.
To be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light.
Amen.
Amen.
Father, we thank you.
Amen.
Amen. We bless you, Father.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for this wonderful inheritance.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
All of us have a part of it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Help us all to be partakers.
Amen.
And not spectators.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for this wonderful inheritance.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Okay. This one. So, praise the Lord. So, this morning, we want to come to the matter of seeing Christ as this wonderful inheritance, the good land. I think if you consider all that has been shared this weekend in the conference regarding the matter of the true worshipers, we can begin to really see a picture of what God our Father desires from us as the true worshipers. In the back of your outline, we have this little table there. Sorry, another chart. But I think this chart is pretty simple in really bringing everything together for us. So far what we've seen is, who is the object of our worship? It is definitely God our Father.
Amen.
And yesterday we also saw the matter of, where does the Father want his worship to be? And we see that it is in the new covenant, it is the church today. The heavenly Jerusalem. And you can see the parallel here. The earthly Jerusalem for the Old Covenant, and then in the New Testament age that we live in, it is the church, the heavenly Jerusalem.
Amen.
And then what is it that the Father wants? The Father wants his offerings. And in the Old Covenant, you see the offerings of the animal sacrifices that was described in Leviticus chapter 1 through 7. But as we saw yesterday, Christ is the fulfillment. He is the reality and he is the substance of all of the sacrifices. So today he is our spiritual sacrifice. And this is what God our Father wants when we worship the Father. And we realize that the matter of the offerings here, it's not just that, you know, we experience the Lord doing something nice to us or good for us, but it is as we take Christ, as we apply Christ as all the offerings, it causes a change in our life.
Amen.
And this change in our life is what the Father desires and what will satisfy the Father. And then last night we saw, when is it that we bring the offerings to the Father? And again, in the Old Covenant, it is in the feasts. Three times a year.
Amen.
Seven wonderful feasts that God's people kept in that time.
Yes.
And Today, we see it is completely embodied in the Lord's table meeting. And it is at the Lord's table meeting here where we begin to keep the feast. And it is also here that we offer the spiritual sacrifices to God our Father. Right. So it's very good to see what the Father desires. Right? Who are we worshiping? It's the Father. Where is the place? The church. What is it that he wants? It is his offerings, his food. And when? Amen. It is at the appointed time, the Lord's table. Amen. But then the question becomes is, well, how do we do this? Where does the produce come from? And so this morning we wanted to spend a little bit of time in the matter of laboring on the good land. Amen. We have to praise the Lord that he is really the fulfillment, the embodiment of all the reality of the types and figures that we have seen in the Old Testament, the scriptures from Genesis to Malachi. And in these verses that we read this morning and that we ate, we can begin to see that God has given us a marvelous inheritance.
Amen.
In the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant time, it was the matter of the good land.
Yes.
Right? Christ as the good land. And what do you do with this good land, right? I appreciate it in Deuteronomy chapter 26. It says, It shall be, when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and you possess it and dwell in it, that you shall take some of the first of all the produce of the ground, which you shall bring from your land, that the Lord your God has given you, and put it in a basket, and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide.
Amen.
And you shall go to the one who is the priest in those days, and say to him, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the country which the Lord swore to our fathers to give us.
Amen.
And the priest shall take the basket out of your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God.
Amen.
So, the land is very important. This is where we have to begin to labor.
Yes.
But it's important to see what is this land, right? To say that we have a wonderful, good land is still a bit general. This is why it's so good that there is a description to this good land. And if we know and we realize that Christ is the reality, the substance of all the types and figures in the Old Testament, then as we read through verses 7 through 11 in chapter 8 of Deuteronomy, we begin to see what a marvelous Christ we have.
Amen.
Right, it is a land of brooks of water and of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills.
Yes.
And we know in the Gospel of John that Christ is what? He is the river of water of life.
Amen.
Right, he is the living springs that even wells up from within us all. Christ is this spiritual rock that followed his people. And out from the spiritual rock came what? Water. Right? So we can always drink of Christ. And I appreciate it. It is out of valleys and hills.
Amen.
Right? So whether we're up in the hills or we're in the valleys, we can always take a drink of Christ.
Yes.
And then it is the land of wheat and barley. The wheat, we already saw the matter of the fine humanity of Christ. Right, this land is of wheat, and in a barley, the resurrection. The vine, full of life, fig trees, the pomegranates.
Right?
When you consider the pomegranate, and you open it up, you see all these seeds inside of it. It's full of life. Christ is full of life. A land of olive oil and honey, and a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity.
Amen.
means he is our very life supply, supplying us every day, and it is in which you will lack nothing.
Amen.
There are already conferences given on all of the details of Christ as the good land, for us to partake and to enjoy. And so we won't spend all the time today to get into all those details. But we wanted just to give you all again a taste that how rich is this good land.
Amen.
Right, and it is even a land where stones are iron. It's a land whose stones are iron, and out of those hills you can dig copper. The stones for the building.
Amen.
The iron for the reigning of the authority of Christ. And the copper or the brass for God's judgment. Right? This is a marvelous, rich inheritance that we have.
And
if we had time, we would get into it, but time is really short. But we want to give you this perspective because we have to see what is it that we have inherited. If you don't realize what you inherited, and you just know it's this title deed, it says, Iman Faulkner, you're the inheritor of Miles Square Park. And then this is all you have, is this title deed. Then if you don't know what is in your inheritance, how will you really appreciate? And not just appreciate, how will you begin to enjoy the benefits of this land? But we have to realize that this is Christ. And that's why in Colossians chapter 1, it says, giving thanks to the Father for qualifying us.
Amen.
For this inheritance.
Yes.
Of the saints in the light.
Amen.
And who is this inheritance? Who is this inheritance? In Colossians chapter 2, it goes on to say, go to Colossians chapter 2. It goes on to say here in verse 6, it says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him.
Amen.
We have received Christ Jesus our Lord. So this inheritance is Christ Himself.
Yes.
And that's why Paul writes on, so walk in Him.
Amen.
That means we have to walk about this land.
Yeah.
For the children of Israel to fully apprehend and to appreciate and to benefit from the land, they had to walk in this land.
Yes.
Right. And this land has measurements. We already know in Ephesians, Paul says, and may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height.
Amen.
So these are even dimensions. Dimensions to this marvelous living Christ as the good land. Right? This is why in the same chapter, verse 8, it says that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ.
Yeah.
Do we realize what a Christ we have?
Right?
And this is why we need to get into it.
Yeah.
This morning we don't have time to get into it, but we need to get into it in our daily life. All of the details of the land. So the question then becomes is, if we see that we have such a good land, what do we do with it? What do you do? So Iman, now you have Miles Square Park. This is your land. What are you going to do with it?
Labor in it.
Labor in it. Very good. It's good you have the right concept. You need to labor in it. Right? Sometimes we think, you have such a marvelous good land. And it just is good. You don't need to do anything. Maybe you inherit it and it's already cultivated. You've got this wonderful farm on this good land that produces everything that we just described to you. But if you do nothing in it, what will happen to that good land?
Things will grow up.
Exactly. The weeds will grow. And for some reason, rocks will develop in the land that will be hidden in the ground. And then, eventually, the ground becomes very hard. Right? So in this matter of the good land, we do need to labor. Laboring in the good land is quite important if we want to enjoy the richness of the land.
Yeah.
You know, in my mom's backyard and in my mother-in-law's backyard, they both have a rich, good land on a small scale. They all have fruits and vegetables, a good crop back there. And how did that happen? Just one day it miraculously showed up. No, I think if you talked with both of them, you realize that there was some labor, some hard sweat to dig up the land. And then after you dig the land and you are able to take out all the stones and you put the seeds in, then it starts to grow. But then there needs to be the watering. There needs to be the pruning, the cutting. There's so many things that has to be done to the land for then to finally produce the wonderful fruits. And there's so much fruit in it that it's not just for them to enjoy, but it's for many more to enjoy.
Amen.
When the cherry tomatoes come, mom has all these cherry tomatoes, and I'm at the house, she goes, take all of this. I can't eat this by myself. Just take it, eat it. Right? And over and over in my mother-in-law's yard, what happens is they're gone, and then now you have all the fruit there.
Yeah.
And she's always telling Sharon to harvest it.
Yes.
Right, to enjoy the fruit of the land. Right, but this cannot happen unless we labor in the good land.
Yes.
Right. So laboring, I don't think it's. It should be very clear to us that if we have such a good land, and if we don't labor in it, then we could not enjoy the rich harvest and the produce of the land. It just doesn't make sense to say, well, we don't need to labor in Christ. He's everything already there. But actually for us to experience, to apply, to enjoy the richness of the good land, we actually need to labor in it.
Yeah.
Right, in Proverbs, I was reading this a few weeks ago. In Proverbs chapter 24, verse 30, it says, I went by the field of the lazy man, and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. Right, and when I saw and I considered it well, I looked on it and received instruction, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to the rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. So it's clear that if we are lazy and we don't spend the time to labor in the good land, then this wonderful, rich, produced good land will be overrun with thorns. It'll be covered with nettles. And even the stone wall that you had built around it to define it would be broken down. So for all of us, if we are not careful, if we are, you know, just deciding to, well, I'm going to take it easy, then it will be to our surprise, like a prowler coming. Your poverty will come like a prowler. You won't expect it. And your need like an armed man. So the matter of laboring is important. This is why Paul charges Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2. It says, the hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. This farmer, as we labor in this good land, We should be diligent. We should be this hard-working farmer.
Amen.
It means daily there needs to be the produce, the laboring in the land.
Amen.
To cultivate.
Right? Right.
And I think the verses in Matthew chapter 13 becomes quite clear. Why is it that we need to labor? Because of our hearts. If you go into Matthew 13, verse 18 through 23, it says, "Therefore hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside." What is this wayside? When you look at a farm, the wayside is the path that the farmer has to go back and forth when he goes to and from to work on the field. Every day you walk out and you walk back and you keep going over the same spot. And eventually what happens is it becomes very hard. So if the seed drops on it, it will just sit on the surface and it becomes easily snatched by the birds. If you consider in our daily life, every day we do go through some kind of routine. We go to work, we come back. We go to school, we come back. We take care of the family, we come back. Every day we have the same routine, Monday through Friday. And if we don't till the ground, if we don't dig in it, what will happen to that part of the soil? We get very hard. Our hearts will become hardened. And this is what happens to us. This is what happens to our heart. If we just let the routines of the day just go back and forth, and it really makes it our heart so hardened. Then when the word comes, we won't understand it. Have you considered this? If we get caught up in the traditions, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, you get caught up in the traditions, then what happens? That part of our heart hardens.
Oh Lord.
And when the heart is hardened and the word is spoken and is sown into the hearts of men, what will happen? No one will understand it, and the seed will be taken. Right? So this is also a danger for us, a warning for us. We should learn to take care of our hearts, to not let it get hardened through the routines, through the traditions. Then it goes, "But he who receives the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he who has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles."
Oh Lord.
Right. So another issue with our heart is the hidden stones buried in our hearts. And we may come to a conference, we may come to the meetings, and we hear the word, and it really touches us, and we receive it with joy. But then what happens? Then the trials come, the tribulations come. And what happens to us? Do we wither up and die because of the heat? You think about it. Sharon and I were just talking a little bit about I was finished with the conference and we were considering the situation, and of course we received the word with joy, but as we were considering one situation, and then it was like all of a sudden in our hearts we're going, we were all upset. I mean, we just had a conference. And very quickly something like that could cause us to wither, right? So if there's hidden stones in our hearts, if we don't deal with the things in our hearts, dig it out. And we might receive the word with joy, but when the tribulations and the persecution rises, then we will wither up. Right? So it says immediately he stumbles. So our heart, we have to take care of it.
Amen.
And then he says, now he who receives seed amongst thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word.
Yeah.
And he becomes unfruitful.
Right.
We may come to hear the word. We may get into the word. And it's sown into our hearts. But because of so many things, that the affairs of this life, the cares and the worries of this life, would eventually choke the life, or there would be no fruit. So these are the things that could prevent us from being fruitful. And this is why it says, but he who receives the seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it. And the key here is who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Right. So we do have to take care of our hearts. As the word is sown into our heart needs to be in good condition for the word to be able to sink roots into us and then to bear fruit in us. Right. So we can begin to see, you know, for us to bring the offerings, for us to keep the feasts, we have to labor in Christ, to labor in Him as the good man. Right. What I realize in these last 9 months in the matter of the true worship is this is a matter of labor. We have to get into this. And it's always not so easy. In fact, we have the saying, easier said than done. We can see very clearly concerning Christ is all of this offerings, the marvelous offerings. And we can also see Christ is all of the richness of the feasts that God has provided. And we can even see all there is regarding Christ as the good land. But to see is one thing, but then to do is another thing. When that moment that requires me to turn to the Lord, and especially if I'm like just upset and Sharon's saying, John, turn to the Lord. What am I going to do at that point? Unfortunately, that's always the initial reaction is like, ugh. I mean, we know it. We have the doctrines. We know it. But the willingness to turn, the willingness to labor, this is the part we have to get to. Right? And so I appreciate that this is a real labor of love. We have to really get into it and be diligent like the farmers.
Amen.
This is why it's so good we have the examples of Paul, Peter and John. In Philippians, Paul said, for me to live is Christ. That means from the time we wake up until we go to sleep, and even as we sleep, we need to live in Christ. There's so many areas to still apprehend, to comprehend. That's why Paul said in Philippians, it says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. If by any means, not some means, but if by any means,
yes,
that I may attain to the best resurrection from the dead.
Amen.
If by any means.
Amen.
It means whatever circumstances come our way,
yes,
we need to be diligent to,
yeah,
go for it. That's why it says, verse 12, not that I have already attained or already perfected, but I press on.
Amen.
That I may lay hold of what that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me.
Amen.
We have to lay hold of it. We have to labor. We have to possess Christ,
yes,
more and more and more.
Amen.
That eventually, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind,
yeah,
and reaching forward to those things which are ahead.
Amen.
I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
After you have one harvest, then you go, I'm done. And now I don't need to labor anymore. I'll just reminisce on my past labor. Is that how it works on the farm? If you were to reminisce, you were to archive all of your produces from last year. What are you going to have? Rotten fruits. You wouldn't want to eat any of that stuff, right? So, this is why. Forgetting the things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are ahead. This is a daily active labor on our part to move forward.
Amen.
To reach towards more what Christ is. He's the unsearchable riches of Christ. How can we not keep moving forward? Right. And then in Peter, 2 Peter, it's also good what Peter says. 2 Peter verse 5, it says, but also for this very reason, chapter 1, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence to add to your faith, and then all of these items, virtue to knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. Right, we don't just stop at faith. Okay, we are born of God, and then we stop there. No, Peter says, add to your faith.
Amen.
When you consider all of these items, these are the fruits of the Spirit.
Yes.
And Peter was saying, giving all diligence, not being lazy, but be diligent to add. And then, for if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the full knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Right, so if these are yours and abound.
Amen.
Right, do we want to be barren? Do we want to be unfruitful? I don't think so. We all want to experience the unsearchable riches. All the fruits.
Amen.
But it goes on. This is a warning. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he has cleansed. He was cleansed from his old sins. That means if we don't labor, we will become short-sighted and even blinded. Right? You think about it. How much are we willing to labor? In our backyard, it used to be when I was younger, I liked to put in lots of seeds for tomatoes in our backyard, at my mom's and even at our house. And they would say, why'd you put so many seeds in? Because I said, I want to see all this stuff grow. And then, okay, so I put that much seeds in. All of a sudden, there's so much fruit there. You know what to do with it. So as I got older, I learned, okay, I will only plant this much because that's all I need. So if you sow sparingly, right? Because it's only for my needs, right? If we only think in those terms, just for my needs, then we'll only do a little bit. But who is the sowing for? Ultimately, it's still for the Father, because He wants the best of the first fruits. And so, we shouldn't be short-sighted. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble.
Amen.
So if we are diligent to add to the faith,
Amen.
Diligent to labor in Christ, we will eventually, we will not stumble. And not only that, verse 11 says, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly.
Amen.
Into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Do you want an abundance entrance into the kingdom?
Yes.
Yes, I want an abundance entrance. It should be an abundant entrance. Right? Supply to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, may we all learn. May the Lord give us eyes to see.
Amen.
He has given ourselves, He has given us such a wonderful good land.
Yes.
Right? And the question is, what do we do with that? We need to labor.
Amen.
Right? And how will we know of this rich good land? That's 1 John, this last part here, 1 John chapter 2, it says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. And then verse 27, but the anointing which you have received from Him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it is taught you, you will abide in Him.
Amen.
So that means daily we need to come to the Lord as the anointing.
Yeah.
The holy anointing who will teach us all things.
Yes.
There's so many areas in our lives, so many opportunities in our lives where we can begin to labor on Christ.
Amen.
To cultivate, to produce the fruits. And it is by the anointing, through the anointing, who will teach us all things. And so may the Lord really work in us these days. Right? It's so good that we can spend a time to see what the Father wants.
Yes.
But now it's important to see how can we prepare the offerings. How is it that we can do all this?
Amen.
So may the Lord give us a heart of diligence.
Yes.
That daily we would labor in Christ as our inheritance, the good land.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Let's read 2 Peter together. Chapter 1. The first 15 verses.
Amen.
Simon
Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have attained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through us. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you.
knowing that surely I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease.
Amen.
Oh, thank you, Father.
Amen.
We want to know your divine power.
Amen.
We want to know our inheritance.
Amen.
You have given us all things that pertain to life and godliness.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises.
Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
We have been given exceedingly great and precious promises.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes, so we want to know these exceedingly great and precious promises.
Amen.
Yes,
that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature.
Amen.
Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust.
Amen.
Yes.
Yes, Lord, we want to be partakers
more
and more of the divine nature.
Amen.
And escaping more and more the corruption that is in the world through lust.
Amen.
Oh, Lord. Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Help us to escape this corruption.
Amen.
Preserve us for your kingdom.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
For this very reason.
Yes.
Giving some diligence.
No.
Giving
all diligence.
Giving a little diligence.
No. All diligence.
Amen.
But just do nothing.
No.
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 Wrong translation.
Giving all diligence.
Amen.
Oh,
amen.
Add to your virtues, to your faith, virtue.
Amen.
To virtue, knowledge.
Amen.
Amen.
To knowledge,
self-control. Amen.
To self-control, perseverance,
godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we want to keep adding.
Amen.
That's right.
We want to continue to grow.
Amen.
To gain more spiritual things.
Yes.
Added to our faith.
Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Father, as your children, Lord, we ask that you of these gifts.
Lord,
that we would abound in these things.
Amen.
Neither barren nor unfruitful.
Amen.
But we want an abundant entrance into your kingdom.
Amen.
That's right.
Diligently add to our faith.
Amen.
But if these things are yours and abound,
amen.
Neither be barren nor unfruitful.
Amen.
Yeah. We don't want to be barren.
Right.
Nor unfruitful.
Amen.
In the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes. Oh Lord.
Help us not to be short-sighted.
Amen.
Even to blindness.
Right.
Amen.
Not to forget.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord.
Don't want to be short-sighted.
Yeah.
Don't want to be blind or those who forget.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Save us from ourselves, Lord.
Amen.
Save us from our flesh, Lord.
Amen.
Keep us humble, Lord.
Amen.
Do not let us become short-sighted, Lord.
Amen.
Even to blindness.
Right.
Lord, help us to remember that you have cleansed us from our old sins, Lord.
Amen.
A new creation in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Don't let us forget, Lord.
Amen.
Don't let us forget.
Amen.
Oh, Lord.
Yes. Oh. Your Spirit constantly remind us during the day.
Amen.
We really want to be diligent.
Yes.
Amen. To labor on Christ.
Amen.
To add to our faith.
Amen.
Amen.
to make our calling and election
sure. Amen.
And not to stumble.
Amen.
Yes. Right. Help us not to stumble.
Amen.
May we encourage one another to go on.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. To make our calling and election sure.
Amen.
Lord, we want to be sure.
Amen.
We want to have the assurance of faith.
Amen.
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 Do these things so we'll never stumble.
Amen. Amen.
We yes. want to do these things.
Right. Amen. Amen.
So as never to stumble.
Amen.
Yes. Yes. Help us all to be doers of your word.
Amen.
Yes. At every day.
Amen.
Give us all diligence.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Make us doers of your word.
Amen.
Not hearers only.
Amen.
Lord, we want to make our call and election sure.
Amen.
When we do these things, we will never stumble.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Daily, Lord, help us to be diligent.
Yeah. Amen.
Make our call and election sure.
Amen.
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 Yeah.
Oh, we want to have a rich entrance.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
The eternal kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes.
For if you do these things, you will never stumble.
Amen.
For so an entrance will be supplied to you
abundantly
into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Yes, so we thank you for this promise, Lord.
Amen.
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 We don't want to be just barely making it.
Right.
We want to have an abundant entrance.
Amen.
A rich entrance.
Amen. Yes.
Into the kingdom.
Amen.
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 Yes.
Oh, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Lord.
Yes. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Father God,
Amen.
Give us such a rich entrance.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
Yeah. And we pray that we would not be negligent to remind us always of these things.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Yeah. Especially as long as we live.
Yes.
To stir ourselves up and reminding ourselves.
Amen.
Oh, Lord.
Yes.
Yes, if we have no one else to remind us.
Yes.
We want to remind ourselves.
Amen.
Oh, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, you gave us the Spirit.
Amen.
To bring to our remembrance all things that you have said to us.
Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes, you must really remind us of all these things.
Amen.
Yes, thank you for the anointing to remind us.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah,
amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for my granddaughter to remind me.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Oh Lord, as long as we are still in this tent,
Amen.
We want to be reminded.
Amen.
You remind us.
Amen.
We have this perspective.
Amen.
Yes.
Our time here is temporal.
Amen.
May we not let the cares of this world overtake us.
Amen.
Keep our eyes on the goal.
Amen.
Yes.
Right. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder.
Amen.
Of these things after my departure.
Yes.
Amen.
Oh, Lord.
The Bible never taught us to be lazy.
Yeah.
Never, ever. To do nothing. Now, I don't know why we read the Bible so many years, so many times, and this simple rule we don't understand and we don't miss. In your whole life, so good to see two this morning. You did nothing and now you're in Apple? By the blessings and mercy and grace and abundant help of our Lord Jesus Christ, you just did nothing and you got hired by Apple and had a good job. No? Why not? You don't have to do anything. God will bless you. Just trust in Him. You didn't. You spend a lot of time working. Sometimes till late at night.
No sleep.
Right? And now you are going to San Francisco. What, to have a good time? To labor. Labor. Right? May the Lord grant you strength not to be lazy, yeah. But to labor.
Yes.
Don't think that spiritual life will just grow with you doing nothing. You know, we all have some funny and strange concepts, but none of the apostles ever told us to do this. If people tell you to do nothing and don't be, you know. Huh?
Pressure.
Don't be pressured. Especially by John Soap. Don't be pressured by him. I'm not giving anybody any pressure. You know who's giving you pressure? Our Heavenly Father.
Amen.
Our God. Look, hand, when you read this chapter, how do you feel?
Encouraged.
Wow. Wonderful. You feel encouraged. Encouraged to work hard.
Yeah.
Encouraged to be lazy. Encouraged to do nothing and just let the Lord do everything. What about verses like what Paul says? You have to do nothing about your salvation because the Lord did everything for you already. What did Paul say?
Work out your own salvation.
Work out. I don't like to work out. I just want to trust in God.
Just with fear and trembling.
Work out. I don't like this word. I like to sleep in. How about that? What do you prefer, to work out or sleep in? Sleep in, yeah, you see. So if you like to sleep in, you don't like to hear the word work out. You feel pressured. Why you want to train the young people of the churches to do nothing? This is a lie, a big lie from the devil.
You're right.
This is not what the Word of God says. Yeah. Right. All the apostles tells you to be diligent,
right.
To labor,
yeah.
To work hard.
Amen.
Then it is the Lord who is working in you.
Yes.
Does not mean the Lord works and you don't do anything. No, God has given you a wonderful intelligence.
Yes.
A good mind. But if you don't use it, you don't exercise, you don't learn, you don't study, you don't work hard, and add to whatever you had already, experiencing day by day, you're going to be a bum. It says UCSD. What are you doing there? Having a good time, vacation every day, go swimming, go to the beach, become a beach bum? I sure hope not. I wish you much success. But my wishing won't work if you don't work hard. I can wish all I can. Right? God didn't give us a Aladdin's lamp.
Yeah.
You just rub a few times and make your wish and it comes true. That's only a fairy tale. A German fairy tale. From Brothers Grimm.
Mm.
Right?
Exactly.
You've been reading that too much. when a fairy tale becomes reality? I don't think so. It's just your dream. Right. Don't you love fairy tales when you were young?
Yeah.
Oh, I collected a lot of them, but I'm glad I lost them. If you say you're mature, mature means you have more responsibility to do. You have to labor more. Right? When you're in kindergarten, do you work that hard? No. But now you're going to get your master's, even PhD. You think you don't have to work hard? If it was a kindergarten? No. The more you are mature, the more you know how to labor properly. Are you learning new things in Apple? No need. You just refresh the old things.
Useless.
Huh? Useless. Why? You mean the old things are useless?
Now it is.
Now it is.
Passing away.
Because you need to progress. Yes. You need to press toward the goal. You think it is easy? It is not easy. Don't let people fool you. And for spiritual matters, you need even to labor more than your studies. If not, hey, you repeat it again. You need to keep on adding and adding, not keep on warming up the old soup. How many times can you warm up your old soup?
Once.
Oh, well, let me ask the mother the old soup. How many times? Every day for 3 months you warm up the old soup? And give it to your son to drink. And you think your son's going to drink it? Are you going to drink it?
No.
You don't love your mama.
That's not what I said.
I still want the old soup.
I still want old soup. What are you going to do? No, I'm not joking. You know, I'm saying it with a weeping heart. I don't weep here, but you can see my heart weeping. That is not the way. That is not the way. Peter says to keep on adding and adding and adding and adding until you reach this glory. And if you reach the glory, then you still have to go from glory to glory. And to more glory. Never stops. You think you're going to stop? You will not stop. So may the Lord open our eyes to see that when God has given us such a wonderful inheritance, this inheritance is so rich it is unsearchable. Unfathomable, you can never stop digging out the riches of Christ. Remember what God told Jeremiah, call upon me and I will help you to warm up your old soup. No, what did he say? I will show you great and what? Marvelous things that you have known before. That you have not yet known. Do you think you know everything already? Oh, it's because you're still young, but here, look at him. So, you know everything? You may say after so many years, you're still not mature?
No.
not yet attained.
You should say, yes, I may be mature, but there are still so many things a mature person needs to learn. Mm-hmm. No, you don't need to. Are you mature? Yes, you are mature. You're already, how old are you now? You already finished bachelor with flying colors. Now you're going to the university. You have a lot to learn, right? Well, suppose you graduate. No more learning?
Always learning.
You know what a German says? Man lernt nie aus. Right? Have you ever heard this saying? Man lernt nie aus. That means one never stops learning. Well, how do you learn? 1 + 1 = 2? You still have to learn that again? And to warm it up. 1 + 1 = 2. So fresh and new to me today. Oh, the next day, what did you learn? 1 + 1 = 2. So fresh to me this morning. 1 + 1 = 2. 2 + 2 = 4. 4 + 4 = 8. 8 + 8 = 16. Wow. 16 + 16 = 32. Wow. It was so fresh in my mind. How do you like that? Do you like that?
Maybe as a first grader.
Huh?
Maybe as a first grader.
Not even.
But I am not a first grader, I'm a grandpa. Why? Why do you want to teach the church like that? You think you're helping the church doing that? No. Spiritual things, once it is no longer living to you, you cannot refresh anything that is dead.
Right.
Can you refresh a dead chicken?
No.
Huh? How are you going to refresh a dead chicken? Dead hen, dead rooster.
Get rid of it.
How are you going to refresh something that is in the past already? Mm-hmm. You cannot. Even if you're a mortician, you can only paint the outside and make it look living. But you cannot make it alive.
Right.
Do you want to be to have such a profession? No. No one likes to have such a profession. The church is living. And as long as you're living, you must go from glory to glory. The Lord wants a glorious church. Why don't you ask? Ask the question yourself, are we already so glorious? It's not hard to know whether you are so glorious already. Right? We need to see this. That's why we need to diligently go on. We need to diligently go on. Until we reach the goal. Paul says, I want to press on until I reach the goal. You may be mature, but you haven't reached the goal yet.
Yeah. Right.
Don't think if you're mature, you already reached the goal. But the way you are, it shows me you're not mature.
Yeah.
Not mature spiritually. So, the Lord has to open your eyes to really see. Right. Of course, people don't believe that revelation keeps on growing and is a progressive revelation. You don't believe that? Maybe God knows all things, but do you? Are you omniscient? Tell me, Tell me the truth. I know you are a doctor degree of some sort. Are you omniscient? You know everything that needs to be known? So what do? You need to have continuing ed, right? Every year?
Yes.
How many units?
25 units.
Wow. Every year, 25 units. And that's just your earthly profession.
Yeah.
Now, what about a heavenly profession?
A lot
for you. You don't need continuous ed. You don't need to see something more, deeper, higher. You don't need. One of the biggest trouble among Christians in the whole past history is that they stop and they don't go on.
Yeah, right.
And when they don't go on,
go backwards.
If it's just backwards, it is still not too bad. But if they become dead, like Sardis, then that's bad news.
Right.
So, if you don't go on and you stop, what can I say?
Right.
You judge for yourself. And those who say such things will have to bear the responsibility before the Lord when He comes back. Right. So, may the Lord really have mercy on us.
Amen. Yes. Oh Lord.
Spiritually, we must continue to ascend.
Amen.
We must continue to grow. Don't think a mature person doesn't need to grow. You think Jasmine needs to grow, but Sharon doesn't. How about that, Sharon?
No, I need to grow.
You better grow. And don't let Jasmine outgrow you. Right. We all need to grow. You think the anointing has nothing more to teach you?
Oh no, it has much more to teach you. Much
more. You are gravely, grossly mistaken.
Yeah.
You think the Lord has nothing more to show you? You think God has nothing more in store? I know that is what somebody said years ago. He has seen everything that needs to be seen in the Bible. Wow, you reach God's boundary. But you should realize God has no boundary. No wonder such people thought they became God. I want to discover not strange things, but all the riches and more riches that the Father has in store for us.
Amen.
It doesn't mean that I'm a strategist. You think I'm a strategist? What strategy do I have? Am I a strategist? No, I want to discover the riches of Christ, to help myself and to help the saints. I want to discover God's way of worshiping Him. I want to discover how to gain the reality of Christ to satisfy the Father. Is that a strategy? I'm not that intelligent to have any spiritual heavenly strategies. No. I just want to know how to satisfy the Father. How to gain a rich entrance into the kingdom.
Amen.
How to obey Him,
yes,
and to do what He wants. Don't you want to do that?
Yes.
Let us all have this kind of an attitude.
Amen.
You know, when Paul in Philippians says, "Not that I have already attained," don't you think he was already mature as a Christian? But let me tell you, only a true mature Christian will say that.
Mm-hmm.
A pseudo mature Christian will never say that. They will think, "We already know everything. Let's just warm up the old soup." That doesn't sound like speaking of a mature person. Forgive me for speaking the truth. I'm going to offend everybody again. But in such a case, I will offend you. To wake you up out of your sleep,
amen,
that Christ will shine on you.
Amen. Amen.
It's because I love you I say this.
Right.
I'm not going to keep my mouth shut anymore. Because by not saying things, I won't help you. May the Lord have mercy on all of us.
Amen.
To labor on the good land, Christ as our inheritance, is a very important, not only basic, but it never stops in our experience to grow this wonderful Christ.
Amen.
You need to see this.
Amen.
We all need to understand this.
Yeah. Right.
Right. It's not that we don't need to do anything and you'll be in the kingdom. Like magic. It only happens in Disneyland.
Disneyland, yeah. Magic kingdom.
The magic kingdom. It doesn't work like that in the heavenly kingdom. I'm sorry. Don't think heavenly kingdom is Disneyland. No, there is no such thing as heavenly Disneyland.
Mm.
Right. So may the Lord grant us a rich entrance by
Amen.
Our being diligent to labor to enter into the good land.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Father God. Yeah. Amen. Oh, Father. Amen. Amen. Amen.